It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
But DeKrell forgot one thing, it. Monsters, John. Monsters from the id.
There you go again, always blaming me for everything.
Go switch off!
Exterminate!
It's a trap!
This looks extraordinarily bad.
Commencing countdown. T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanny Show, episode 3.6.
Sponsoring the Universal Pretentious Science Fiction and Fantasy Author Award to make such curmudgeonly people feel better about themselves in an alternative universe.
I'm Sean.
And I am Adam.
And you can see Adam is back because Andy Remick, who was supposed to be on this episode, got really ill. So we're postponing that interview till later in the week, and then I'll probably post it midweek or something. So Adam and I are just going to talk, actually, about something posted on SF Signal, the title of which was The Wayward Time Traveler, Living and Loving Life in the Gutter of Science Fiction by, what the hell is his name again?
Jamie Todd Rubin.
There you go. So basically, what is the basic premise of this post, Adam?
It's, more and more these days, people are talking about literary science fiction, which in itself is kind of an oxymoron since genre fiction is inherently different from literary fiction. But they talk about meaning that science fiction with more to it than just a twist at the end with some deep-seated social meaning or BS. And Jamie Todd Rubin's like, why is it wrong just to read science fiction and fantasy as entertainment?
I don't know if it's just read. It's definitely more writing it for entertainment. His post is from a writerly perspective.
Well, he says fan first and writer second.
Yeah, but all genre both. Writers
it's,
say that.
It's both. It's both.
Yeah, but the bulk of his post is about writing.
No, it's not. It's about reading.
No, it's not. It's about writing. He spends his first whole paragraph babbling about how some professor yelled at him for writing science fiction.
I've had that experience.
Well, okay.
Sure, most people have, but you just gotta fight through it and keep writing science fiction until you convince your professor that you can.
Well, like I also think that MFA programs are stupid, but that's me.
Well, they're not stupid in that you get paid to go to school for 2 years to write fiction.
Sometimes.
At the good ones. At the good ones, like the Iowa Writers Workshop, which even though it's a literary fiction or general fiction, I'll use the term general fiction, that they cater to that, they're still a very... I know many people who are happy with going there for 2 years.
Yeah, my understanding is the Iowa Writers Workshop
I'd still suggest Clarion for anyone like us.
Oh, sure, if you want to go to a genre-specific one. If you go to University of Florida, the MFA program here hates SF&F, but our English program loves it. So
that's
it's
strange.
It's very interesting. Yeah, the pretentiousness of my university is very skewed, but I also understand that most people that go to my MFA program are not going to be anything. So I should not say that since probably some of my MFA friends will read this, listen to this. But they will acknowledge the same thing. But anyway, so I guess the basic premise is that we read science fiction, or that there's no problem with reading science fiction or writing it just for the sheer joy of writing it.
Yes, we'll go with the basic, or reading, yep.
Okay.
Basic premise of the article.
Okay. If you take that on a basic level, I completely agree with it. There's absolutely nothing wrong with reading any of those, any of the genres, any of those for the sheer pleasure of doing it, or the same thing with writing it. I don't see a problem with that. I write for my own entertainment, mostly because I like torturing my characters. Adam, I know you like writing for your own entertainment because you write weird stories and there's something wrong with your head. So, so we both write for entertainment. I think my only issue with his post is his initial premise coming from the first paragraph. And I think it would have been more important if he had mentioned when he was in this program, because he mentions in a comment later that he was in this program 20 years ago. And it seems sort of silly to have to say it, but the academic and even the creative writing program, like that whole community, is drastically different today than it was 20 years ago. Particularly for English programs. Well, sure, there are always going to be programs that are anti-genre. But that's just the way it is.
Well,
but,
the program at my college, which will remain nameless since I hope to graduate in 2 weeks and don't want them to.
It's in Wisconsin.
That. It is in Wisconsin.
So you've got a small pick of colleges.
Well, we don't do any story, play, poem. We don't look at anything past about 1945. Like, we have no post-World War II fiction at all. And both of the creative writing professors, well, the two full-time professors, we have many, many assistant, associate, what have you, professors. Mm-hmm. They are both retiring. They are both in their 60s and 70s. So ours hasn't changed in 20 years or 40 years even.
Okay. Well, but that is one college or
yes,
one university.
Yes, that is one college.
Right. I mean, when I look at the University of Florida, this one has clearly changed based on – I haven't been here forever, so I can't speak for – but based on who I've talked to, this program has certainly changed over the years. I know other programs have changed. Even when I went to UC Santa Cruz, I wasn't in the MFA program, but I was in the English program. While I was there, it became progressively more open to genre fiction. Karen Joy Fowler actually taught a class my last year while I was there in the MFA program, and I took a class on cyberpunk, international cyberpunk. I'm not sure really why it was called international, but whatever. So that became more, I think, as I was there, it was becoming more acceptable to have those kinds of classes. And I know other universities have become more open to it. A lot of universities are open to it to various degrees. But there, of course, are always going to be programs that are, well, I'm going to call them pretentious because I think they're jerks. But there are always going to be programs like that. They're never going to go away, right?
Well, I mean, I looked into many, many MFA programs, and there really aren't. I mean, there's a handful. You have one in Maine. I think that James Patrick Kelly and Elizabeth Moon or Bear,
yes,
one of
Stony
them.
Brook, I think.
Yeah, Stony Brook. They teach it, but I mean, they are also one of those ones where you only go for a couple weeks a year. MFAs? I forgot what they're called.
Right. Well, but that doesn't necessarily mean that all MFA programs are anti-genre.
Most of them are.
I don't think that they are.
A vast majority. I've looked into. I mean, I got the Poets and Writers magazines, the top 100 MFA programs, and I went down the list and I checked out so many, and this is why I'm not going into post-grad. And West Virginia, I think you could do surrealism if you went obliquely at it, but actually, Joe Haldeman got into Iowa's Writers Workshop 40 years ago, but only because he had published The Quiet War. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gotten in.
But I mean, when you were looking through this, were they saying specifically, we do not do genre?
They didn't have to. The tone I got from the inquiries said that.
Oh, okay. How many did you inquire with?
At least 30.
But these are like Ivy League schools and like Columbia and places like that, right?
No, I mean, I had them from, I looked at a bunch. I looked at private schools, public schools, schools on both coasts, on both borders. I mean, it was pretty much universal. The only reason I found that West Virginia did surrealism is because I went to in one of the databases to search through abstracts for theses. Yeah, I forgot it has that double E. And I found a guy in West Virginia who wrote something called The Zombie Parade. Found that it was surrealism. But otherwise, I mean, I couldn't find anything with the word rocket or you know, any science fiction themed thesis that time.
That's,
man, I did not sound like a college graduate.
So I wonder if maybe MFA programs are, for the most part, or at least the major programs, because I would imagine Stony Brook is not in the top 100.
They are for the not full-time MFA programs. I forgot what they're called.
Okay, well, I mean, they do have published writers that work there. I would assume then that maybe for the most part, MFA programs, at least in the United States, are scared of change, whereas English programs are
yes.
not. In fact, English programs are rapidly shedding their anti-pop culture weapons of war.
You can get an MFA in science fiction from, I think, Liverpool, maybe? It's somewhere over in England.
University of Liverpool has an MA in science fiction studies.
Okay.
I don't know if they have an MFA, but they probably do.
They have an MFA in writing science fiction over there somewhere, but I think that is a lesser part of this article. I think the major conceit of this article is that not only is it all right to enjoy and create science fiction and fantasy for entertainment, but it's preferable than to try to seat your fiction with meaning and theme.
But what if you get pleasure out of putting meaning and theme and all of that and making, just to use a stupid term that is impossible to define, but to make serious science fiction? I mean, what if that is what you... Like, I have a friend who's in the program that I'm in, and he does not like to read books that are not challenging for him. By challenging, he means books that are hard as hell to read. So he loves Thomas Pynchon. He would not like someone like Isaac Asimov. He might like Asimov, but in general, I would guess he would not like Asimov because Asimov's prose is fairly simple. It's not difficult. The only thing that's difficult with Asimov maybe is sometimes the ideas, right? So he goes to Pynchon. He goes to crazy lit theory texts and weird philosophy. He prefers, he gets pleasure out of being confused and having to read slowly and over again to get the meaning of what's going on. That is pleasure for him. Whereas for me, I don't like that so much. I don't enjoy spending 15 minutes on one page just to get what the hell is being said.
I mean, that's one type of difficult reading, but I mean, I just finished a Game of Thrones, and I mean, that is a difficult book because it has about like a dozen major characters and twice that many plot lines. I mean, it is a difficult book to read. You have to read it in as few sittings as possible, just like I mentioned The Quantum Thief earlier this year, that you have to read as quickly as possible. Both of those are difficult books, but they're difficult because of how complex the story is versus having these deep-seated themes and meanings. I think if you find, I mean, they definitely have, both of them have, you know, overarching themes, and they're definitely serious literature, but you get that through the story, not through author's wordplay and metaphor and simile.
Yeah, but that still doesn't change the fact that somebody could equally get as much pleasure from a Thomas Pynchon novel as we do from, say, reading a Game of Thrones or The Forever War or whatever, right? That there are people who would not like something like The Forever War because it's not playing with the language or playing with words or playing with metaphor, et cetera, et cetera, that they would prefer the other kind of novel.
Well, then they should read poetry.
Well, okay, but that's the issue, though.
I mean, if you're reading for metaphor, I mean, there are authors who I love, you know, how they, you know, use words and how they construct sentences, but I couldn't read a whole novel of it. I have to read their short stories. Like, I mean, to use a non-genre example, I very much enjoy Hemingway's short stories, but I think his novels are crap.
Okay, but again, I think the problem is the implication that somehow genre fiction, or maybe more specifically science fiction, is somehow a literary form that A, and this is in his words, A is literature which seems to express the fact that the writer enjoys what he's doing, and B is literature that is, largely speaking, entertaining, and that is something that is not reserved typically for what he refers to as literary fiction. I think the term literary doesn't mean anything. I think that's just a stupid, pretentious...
It is. I like the term general fiction.
Literary is just, everything's literary. If it's written on
yeah.
a page as a book, it's literary, or as a short story or whatever.
But I know what he's... I completely understand what he is talking about, because I'll read a general fiction book from 2011 or from, you know, 1850, and it doesn't sound like the author's enjoying it. It sounds like the author is definitely working to try to create a certain mood, and that comes through, and it strains everything within the story, where I can read genre fiction and it does, you know, you can definitely see the writer's enthusiasm coming through.
I don't know if you can say that, though. I mean...
Oh, I just did say it.
Say that without making it up. I don't know that you can say whether every writer who writes what is considered the more acceptable form of literature, somehow they don't enjoy what they do.
Okay,
I'm sure there are some that
don't.
Never
use absolutes. Absolutes always get you into trouble, and I think it probably got Mr. Rubin into trouble, even though I agree with him, and I think he actually has a lot of good ideas.
I just don't see that. I also, because I think his problem is he's not going to see the enjoyment in what non-genre writers do, largely because he doesn't like to read non-genre works. He doesn't get enjoyment out of it. You can't really see enjoyment in something you don't even get enjoyment out of.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Somewhat.
I mean, like for example, I watched a movie recently based on a book. It's called The Killer Inside Me. It's a story about a guy who is like a sociopath. He's a cop and he like does one bad act and he just gets obsessed with it and he's trying to cover up all his mistakes and he's this awful misogynist and he does awful things to women, right? I did not enjoy that at all. At all. I can't imagine how anybody could enjoy writing a book like that. But there are people that write books like that and they enjoy writing books like that. But I can't see that enjoyment because I am repulsed by it. I can't stand watching. I get sick watching that. I almost stopped watching it because I got sick.
Wow, that must have been bad because you have no scruples whatsoever, sir.
Well, okay. But you can get the point, right?
I mean, I write, you know, some incredibly dark stories as well, and I think it's, you know, fun as all get out to write them.
Yeah, and if people knew some of the stories that you get fun out of, they might wonder if something's wrong with you.
Oh, some of the stuff I got published, no one would read me. I'd have, like, a cop detail at my house.
I think if you have the one about the womb.
The womb, yeah. That actually started as a young adult, if you can believe that.
What the hell is wrong with you?
It wasn't that graphic.
No, but the point is like that has a theme that is very, very controversial, very dark, very, I think, depending
difficult.
On if people didn't know who you were, they would have very big problems with it.
If they didn't read the story and see what I was trying to do, they'd have big problems. They'd just focus on something, and that's what a lot of people do. But back to this. Hopefully it will be published someday. Then I could be the Kids Johnson of our genre.
Oh, gosh. No, because there's actually substance. I'm sorry. That was rude.
Oh. We just lost another 10 listeners.
Yeah. I almost wanted to teach spar for my class just to show what feminist literature has become. But then I was like, no.
I wouldn't call that feminist.
They would call that feminist.
I'd call that like anti-humanism.
Okay. They would call it feminist. But anyway, okay, back to the
thing.
Mean, I guess if you take it and you take away the absolutes, that maybe you can agree with it that largely speaking, maybe we do, or that science fiction is more of a genre that is focused on its entertainment value than as a literary genre, excuse me, is focused on its entertainment value than it is perhaps focused on whatever the high Floyden.
Falutin,
whatever.
Falutin.
You get what I mean? Falutin, whatever.
It's spelled with a U, not a double.
I've never used that word before. Give me a break.
I've never used that word.
Fine, but you know that it's not about the sort of hoity-toity, you know, trying to be impressive with its language, but it's more about telling stories that are entertaining. Right, then I think that in general we would agree that that's what science fiction largely is.
Oh, that is completely true. That's why I walk around the university and see a dozen people holding a Game of Thrones, and I might see one professor holding the Finkler question.
That's fantasy, sir.
Fantasy and science fiction are not mutually exclusive.
Okay, so there was another point I was going to make. A point we should probably talk about is something that he also brings up at the very end, in which people have complained about before, which is the term speculative fiction. And I think we've talked about it before. Have we talked about it before?
We talk about it a lot because, I mean, when literary authors do try to transition to genre, they use the term speculative. See Atwood and
right,
think
but I
Vonnegut.
Hate Atwood. Whatever, she's a jerk. And she's Canadian, so she's
she
not...
She is a jerk.
I'm sorry, I probably have Canadian fans. I probably should not say things about Canadians.
Well, I have a... The only person ever to publish a story of mine is Canadian, so...
This is true, I probably
But it's already not. Up, I don't care. I have my money, it's up.
Anyway, okay, so... generally speaking, how do you think of the term speculative fiction? What does that denote for you?
I mean, I see why people hate it. I think it's just kind of... It's more useful than saying sci-fi and fantasy just because it's shorter. But, I mean, I do also have... I don't like to use it, if I can... I'll say, I mean, I don't know why we use it. Why can't we just say genre? When we say genre, almost everyone knows I mean science fiction and fantasy, even though, I mean, all writing is technically within a genre. And if you use that in a college genre, it means drama or fiction or poetry.
Sure.
But into 90%, not even that. If you said genre to someone on the street, they might not have any idea what you're talking about.
Okay, so you use speculative fiction when you use it, if you use it, to refer to... science fiction and fantasy together.
And to a lesser extent, horror.
That's how I would use it as well. But
horror
I guess
is this weird half genre.
It is, because it kind of flirts with both sides.
I mean, there aren't many horror books that don't have some fantastic element in them.
There aren't. No, you're right. You're right. Okay, so, but Rubin seems to have taken that term to be, I guess, what Atwood uses it for, which is to sort of elevate science fiction beyond its status.
I mean, and he does it very politely. I read a post by Kat Valente. I mean...
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, that was... Wow. It's
she
just
hates that term. Like, yeah.
I know. I love Kat Valente's blog, and she's a great writer and editor, too. So I'm like, okay, I will never use that term again, Miss Valente.
But do you think that's right? Do you think that speculative fiction...
It's derisive to us because other people use it to slight us, I guess. It means the same thing as science fiction does, but it's somehow more acceptable.
Well, how other people use it.
Yeah.
How people who don't want to be known as science fiction writers use it. They use it in place of, particularly Atwood, but let's not get into that. But okay, so what should we do about that term,
labels.
Though? I'm sorry, what?
I love labels. I'm opposed to one very vocal fan of the unlabel, but I love labels. They're useful, and they just help me and with my brain remember
what
certain stories are. I mean, I don't have to say a story with rocket ships is science fiction, but I know stories with rocket ships that aren't science fiction, so that's why I say science fiction. Like Ray Bradbury's R is for Rocket is not science fiction, even though it has rockets within it.
But it's always marketed as science fiction.
Bradbury's always marketed as science fiction, but he wrote many non-science fiction. He said himself he only wrote one science fiction story, and that was Fahrenheit 451. Everything else is fantasy, and I have to agree.
Well, anyway, okay, so what should we do then about people who use that term? Because the overall feel from Rubin is he has a huge issue with non-genre people, but using this term to justify writing science fiction without having to be in the ghetto.
I mean, I think he makes a good point because he calls speculative fiction the term using it is like a sycophant to literary fiction, and it totally is because it's trying to legitimize an already legitimate form of writing.
Sure. Okay. Well, I don't have any contention. I was hoping we'd have something to debate, but we don't. Okay, well, I think we've kind of mined this for what we can, and we're at about 23 minutes of recording time. So why don't we take a quick break, and we will do something we haven't done on this podcast in a while, which is reading and writing. So we'll do that, and then we'll come right back. And we're back with our reading and writing section. So what are you reading? What are you writing, Adam?
Right now, I am a good way through A Clash of Kings, the second Song of Ice and Fire book, and absolutely loving it. I did not expect to enjoy these books as much as I did. And they are totally worthy of the fevered pitch everyone is making of them now that they have the HBO series to go off of. But I'm worried that Martin will die before he finishes it, as are many other people.
Well, I mean, they expect to have the next book in 3 years, but we know how that went last time he said that.
And there's, I think, 2 books left. I think it's supposed to be 7 books.
Yeah, that's, I think, what they said, yeah.
Of course, that's very callous of me to say I'm worried he's going to die beforehand, but it's just vocalizing a fear everyone who enjoys the series has.
And you haven't even finished it yet.
I know, I only read one book, so.
I mean,
it's great. I mean, especially the last 100 pages of it. I mean, wow. I did not think you can do what he did in that book, how he did it, if that makes any sense.
Well, I haven't got there yet. I'm about 400 pages through the first book.
Oh, so you're actually reading it. I thought you vowed never to read it.
I did, and then I started seeing the series, and I decided to read it because I told you this the last episode, because there are characters I hate so much I have to see them die. Okay, well, but anyway, so that's what I'm reading, and I'm also reading Harbor by Lindquist still, and
what's that?
It's the same guy who did Let Me In.
What's that?
They did a movie version of it about the little girl as the vampire.
That means nothing to me.
Well, I don't have time to explain the plot in Harbor. It's really complex.
Okay.
There's a lot going on. The basic premise
is, that is fine.
Daughter disappears. There's weird stuff that's going on this island. There's a lot of mythology. I don't know if it's real mythology, but there's like weird crap going on and like people coming back from the dead, but they're not zombies. They're like ghost mutant monsters. I don't know. It's crazy. So I'm reading that and I'm supposed to be reading something else. Oh, I'm almost done with Andy Remick's book. I took a break since I didn't have to finish it today.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe you can read more than one thing at a time when you're reading Martin.
I have to.
I can't. I mean, I literally cannot read anything else. One, because I'm so enamored with this story, but two, I mean, it's just so complex. I'd start getting things mixed up.
I can keep it all together in my head.
But what are you writing? I assume not much, since you are not very good at it.
No, I'm actually writing a novel.
Ooh. As am I.
Yeah, in what I am jokingly saying is going to be a 25-book series at 1,000 pages a book.
I could do it. In about a year.
No, you can't.
I could. You know how fast I write. I could do it.
Yeah,
you technically write faster than me in short bursts, but then you quit. So,
I
just keep going.
Bored. I get bored really quick. So, this I'm hoping as a way to get around it, because I have a lot of points of view. So,
I'm trying. That's why I'm writing a novel, because my short stories, you would know because you've read them. They have one point of view always, and they have one main character, one minor character, and a very linear plot. So I am trying to write four points of view at the same time.
I'm going to outdo you there.
Well, I don't care. I mean, my points of view will be better. And I'm reading epic fantasies because I'm trying to write one, and I'm starting to realize that it's much more difficult than I imagined it would be.
Oh yeah, no, that's what I started on, is an epic fantasy. So,
but it's fun. I mean, it's a ton of fun to write and come up with a mythos, but my goodness, to come up with something that'll fill 700 pages, especially when I've never written a full novel before. But we'll see. I mean,
yeah.
You'll probably see it on bookshelves 2013.
Oh, that quick. Maybe. Yeah, so I guess we're both working on an epic fantasy at this point. I have short stories in the pipeline that I'm finishing, but I probably won't finish them soon.
I mean, I'm writing short stories as part of the epic fantasy to work out how I want the magic system to work and some of the characters and some of the mythos to work. So,
all right, we got to close out the show because we've gone way too long babbling. You can let us know what you think about the topic we've discussed by sending us an email at skiffyandfanty@gmail.com, leaving a comment on our blog at skiffyandfanty.wordpress.com, or you can send us a Twitter message at twitter.com/skiffyandfanty. So we look forward to hearing from you and see you guys next week. Our new intro music is Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
Just another weak human afraid to face death.
I fart in your general direction.
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you. Always.
End of line.